Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to the Shabbat service for Zion's Sake Ministries here in Bristol, Virginia. A little different service this morning because I'm here. and Rabbi Robinson are not here. I'm not sure exactly where they're at, but they're not here. They're somewhere. But we're here to worship. And I know we just, if you watched the news, you saw, or your television this morning, they crowned a new king in England. But we're here to crown the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. Because yes, he's coming, and that will be the celebration that will far exceed the one that you've seen on TV today.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to worship this morning, and then I'll bring the drosh will be at the end of, sort of at the end where the normally the rabbi teaches or has his message. So we will do the drosh, and that will be the message for this service today, but we invite you here this morning, and so we're going to get started with some liturgy and some music. Yeah, it was nice. It was expensive. You ready? You can start, Kara.
Make a joyful noise, everybody. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Okay, that's it. Okay. We'll be jerking around just a little bit getting everything going this morning. The blessing of the Messiah. Brukatai Adonai Elohein, Yumelech HaOlam, Asher Natalan Derech HaYeshua Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Oh, Hallelujah, Mishkan Artecha, Israel, Hagadni, Alight, and so Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel. May I never cross Deva, and Ometecha, and in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will feel thy holiness, O Lord.
Lord, I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Okay, we're going to do pray for Jerusalem, but before we do that, I want to mention just a couple of prayer things that we have this morning. I think Eric is maybe looking for another job, so we want to pray about that. And Rabbi Jeff Foreman in Toronto, Canada, is having a triple bypass this week at some time. I don't know if it's Monday or what. We want to remember that request this morning. And if there's other needs, remember Rabbi has also been witnessing to a Jewish airline pilot. And I think they're supposed to meet them this evening and maybe have a dinner. And he's also been witnessing to someone that works at the hotel where he's staying at. So let's remember those prayers. And let's all pray for ourselves that we too will entertain people that need to know more about Yeshua and become a believer in him. So we'll pray for Jerusalem, then we'll pray a prayer for that and for these needs today.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the sons of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem.
Let's all pray for the peace of Jerusalem this morning. And remember these prayer requests that we mentioned this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today, Lord, and we proclaim that you are truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll bless the land of Israel. Right now, they're constantly under attack, Lord, and people, there's still a move to take away part of the land. There's also a move that the Jewish people have no claim to the land of Israel. They keep calling it Palestine, but that was something that happened centuries ago with the Roman soldiers. The Roman government decided that they would change Israel to be called Palestine or Palestinia. But it's still the land of God and the land of the Jewish people, and it's still called Israel. And so we pray today for all the communities there that you will bless them. And may they look up because their Redeemer is soon to come. Yeshua will soon come. You know, things going on in the world today definitely point to the fact that how much longer will it be before he comes. But we must continue to do what we have to do. We can't just think about his coming. We know it's coming, but we have to continue to work toward that glorious day and to get others that will come to know him for the kingdom of God. We pray this morning for Rabbi Foreman, Lord, that you will touch his heart, Lord. He's going to have a triple bypass, and we pray this morning that you will touch him and heal him completely, Lord. Bless his wife, bless his children. We pray for Eric this morning, Lord, that you will give him the best job that he's ever had. Give him a job that he will be able to come to Shabbat and will be able to continue his life the way he wants to, serving the Lord. And so we pray this morning especially for him, that the job is on the way, Lord, that he'll get the perfect job with the money that he needs to keep him satisfied and keep him going, Lord. We also pray for other needs that we have, the two people that Rabbi has met with and witnessed to, Lord, that they will turn their hearts over completely to Yeshua and come to know Him, Heavenly Father. We pray that You'll bless all the Messianic communities this morning, that You will bless the speakers, bless the singers, bless the music that may be anointed. May the message be a message that You have given these rabbis and speakers today, Lord, that will serve Your purpose to those communities that they're serving and witnessing to, Lord. We just ask You also bless Rabbi Joe and Rabbi Don, that You'll bless them wherever they're at today, Lord. I don't know. I hope it's not medical, but let's just pray that they have a great day in Shabbat today and a great evening tonight as they meet this Jewish pilot. So we pray this morning this in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Okay, the servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be His servant and to bring Jacob back to Himself. For He's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been His strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be My servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel He has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that He may bring My salvation to the ends of the earth. Are we going to do the Shema now? No, you got here Manavu. It's on down.
Manavu, Alei Lagerim, Rakasei
Manavu. Lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him bringing good news. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him bringing good news. Proclaim to Zion, Yeshua, proclaim to Zion, Shalom. Proclaim to Zion, Yeshua, proclaim to Zion, Shalom.
Mashamiah,
Yeshua, Mashamiah, Shalom.
Mashamiah,
Yeshua, Mashamiah, Shalom.
You're gonna play Avinu Mashkenu. Okay, we'll do the Shema at this point. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Simkevod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of His glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. So we're going to do Minka Moka, and I've got to find that. Okay, I've got it here. Is that recorded? Okay.
Come over, my lily, my love.
To that ancient prayer, "Ankamoka Valim Adonai Valim Kamaset Ka Makut Ka Mimiko Olamin Umishapa Ka Bador Dor Vador Adonai Melech Aitanai Melach Adonai Lot Leoam Vaez Adonai Os Lemo Yeritain Adonai Varechet the Mova Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. And there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace." Okay, good words there. Okay, we're going to take up this morning's tithes and offerings. Just a note, some on the announcement side, and we'll just put it together here. We will have, right now we're scheduled for a Shavuot service on May the 28th. And I think that's a Sunday. You might want to check your calendar, but it's May the 28th, and it's going to be from 5. It's going to start between 5 and 5:30, and right now we're in the plans to have a meal, have the service, and then have a meal afterwards. So mark that on your calendars, and let's come out and observe Shavuot, because we're going to talk a little about Shavuot today in the Torah portion today. Also, we had some damage to the property again with the trees. They came. We got quite a few trees around the building here, but in the back on the parking lot where most everyone parks, we have some Bradford pears. And we had some wind the other day, and one of the big limbs fell out of one of the trees. So we're going to have it cut down and removed, because the next big wind, it'll probably fall. And hopefully, we hope that it doesn't. We can get it removed before there's another storm or wind, so it won't damage anybody's car. It might be parked in that area, but it was right at the parking lot. But it has been the big limb has been removed. But we need support today, and something you can keep in mind is when Rabbi gets back, I'm sure they'll schedule to have the tree taken down, because it looks like it's pretty flimsy and it's not going to stand up with much inclement weather that we've been having lately, along with the wind. So Rabbi had here that it's about $100 to move it, and about $450, imagine, to have it hauled off. So we'll just say we need some help. If you can pledge something to take care of, help pay some of the expense of that tree removal, because we've got several more. Let's just hope they stay real firm in the ground and the limbs are strong. But Bradford pears are real easy about snapping off in the wind, and we've had some strong winds here this past week. So we'll keep that in mind. And I know we've got the challenge for offerings to support the synagogue from the scriptures. So remember that when you're tithing, or if you're online, you can go to our website, and there's a way you can click and you can donate to us to help us with these things and help us improve the synagogue, to make it like the synagogue in the city that I was there, where that synagogue used to be. Parts of it's remaining there in Jerusalem. So, and it was built by a Gentile guy, a Roman soldier, provided the money to build that. So that's quite an unbelievable thing that a Gentile, non-Jewish guy actually provided the money and the resources to build that synagogue that Yeshua, I'm sure, spoke in and worshipped there many times. So this morning we'll give you an opportunity to bring your tithes and offerings here. You can, again, you can put them online. There's a place on the website that you can indicate, unless it's through PayPal or some of the other ways that you can donate money to the synagogue. So let's pray this morning, and then we will enter worship once we finish with the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day once again, Lord. Your Shabbat, it's an appointed time, Lord, to come before you. And we have a opportunity each week to come before you. And Lord, in your word, it says that you will bless those that come before you. And so today we ask, Lord, that you will bless everyone here today. Bless the gift and givers, that be a great portion will be added to what they're giving, Lord. And may our cups run over today for you, Yeshua. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do
begin our part of the service. That's the worship, and we invite everyone to enter in. It's a time to worship the Lord and magnify his name. So Carol has picked up some wonderful songs this morning shouldn't be an encouragement to us. I know times are dark right now. Everything, banks are failing, But it's good to know that God does not fail, even though sometimes we think, well, where's God at? And, you know, but he's there. He's never more than just a whisper away from us. He's there, even though he's working around the scenes all the time. He's got your, as the song says, his eyes on the sparrow. So you're the sparrow this morning. So his eyes are upon you. So this morning, let's worship him today in spirit and in truth as the music is played to encourage us. Thank you.
That was led to the slaughter. He did not even open his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the sins of my people, he was led. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. It was the will of his Father to crush him and take his life in place of our own. But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall bow before his throne. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is Lord. Mashiach, Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the sins of my people he was slain. It was the will of his Father to crush him and take his life in place of our own. But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall bow before his throne. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore.
Our God. salvation was poured out for you.
I am.
to great worship. Thank you all for participating this morning. And we're going to go to the table of the Lord this morning. And can would you like to come and serve, Suzanne? And Carolyn, you feel like stepping down here? Okay, these two ladies will come and serve us this morning. Get ready for that. So coming, you know, we're calling the scriptures. If we have anything in our life that we need to confess, we need to do that at this time before we take the cup of the Lord. And that's, you know, the cup changed that day in Jerusalem when Yeshua presided over the Passover meal. And, he said some things that had never been said before, which it tells us a lot about where we're at today and what is going on in the world today, the things that he said, because the cup and the bread changed forever on that day. And so I'll bless the bread first, and then I will bless the juice afterwards. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzei lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua is the bread of life. He's the bread that sustains us. He took the cup and he said, "This is the cup that represents my blood, which will be shed for the remission of sins." You know, before that, it was the Korban oat was given and the blood was taken and it was cast. But that was only a covering. It's still the next day. The sin was still there on Yom Kippur. It was only good for that time. And then the next day people sinned and you had to wait a whole year for Yom Kippur to come back so the blood could be shed once again for your remissions and be covered. So he took it and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, and that is Yeshua. So we prepare to come and to be served this morning by these ladies. Thank you.
is known. Now I can cry to you, Abba, my Father, and praise you as one of your own. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Haven't counted the Omer yet, and when you count the Omer, it's a time to count your blessings. And today is the 30 days. Get that right. And it's a time to reflect on the things God has given us, and to thank Him. That's one of the reasons for the Omer, but it's a time to reflect on the things of God. So you have 49 days to count. So that gives you a lot of time to think about all the different things that God has done in our lives, sustained us. It's very important at this time in the world because there's so much going on that is so distressful, and the world is just totally out of control when you look around the world. I know Rabbi spoke last week about the artificial intelligence. I worked some in that several years ago with computers, and it was sort of something new that was coming on the horizon, but now apparently it's become a great big thing, and the vice president has now been named the czar of AI or artificial intelligence. So it's interesting that we seem to be going full-blown. I know they were talking to some experts the other night on the news, but Rabbi preached about that and all the things that's involved in that. So we'll count the bless the Omer this morning and count it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kisanu b'mitzvotav v'ciuvanu al sefirot ha'omer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified with your commandments and commanded us to count the Omer. And today is the 30th day of the Omer. And the count is Hayom, Shilashim, Yom, Shehem, Arba'ah, Shavuot, Ushanei, Yamin, La Omer. Today is 30 days, which is 4 weeks. Which is 4 weeks and 2 days of the Omer. So that is the count of the Omer today. Remember, that's counted at night, so this would have been Friday's count going over to today. Just because the Hebrew days start at sundown rather than in the Gregorian, I'm going to say sun up, even though they start at midnight. But so it's a little different. God, that's the way God set it up when he put things together. I don't know how many years ago, but it's been quite a while. So today's message will also be the title of the drosh today, and it's called Emor. Emor is a word that is probably, it means to speak, and it's probably, I started to say it's a word that's spoken more, but it that is the probably used more in all of the scriptures is the word emor, and it means to speak. And it's from Leviticus chapter 21 through chapter 24. And the Haftar is Ezekiel 44 verses 15 through 31. If you read the Torah portion, and let me encourage you to read it. I have a Torah commentary that has all the Torah. The five books are all in it, in the one little book. So it's very neat to have it all together. I don't have to like thumb through to find it. But you know, we see today if you read that, but it talks about the things of the Kohanim. We talk a little bit about the requirements of being a Kohanim, serving before God. They were chosen by God. You know, before, when God originally had everything set up, it was going to be the firstborn, and every family was going to be the Kohanim. And something happened, and he changed it. Prior to that, the Kohanim, like I said, was the first of the family. But when they worshipped, made Aaron make the golden calf, and they began to worship it. God chose a group to do that. Of course, the tribe of Levi was chosen, but not everyone in the tribe of Levi was a Kohen. That was only given to the family of Aaron and his descendants. If you go back and look, of course, Levi was one of the sons of Jacob. And if you come down the lineage, you will come to where, and that name meant, I had it written down, but I didn't bring it with me this morning, exactly the name that was before them. But, you know, God chose that family of Aaron's family would be the Kohanim. In other words, his descendants would be the Kohanim that would come down through the generations until the temple was destroyed. And then, of course, but at that time when Yeshua was living on the earth, you know, the things going into the temple, people, they were not following the words of God. People were getting chosen to be a Kohanim because of their money or position. So they wasn't really people that was serving God and wanting to do what God wanted by his instructions to us. It was more of a prestige thing to be the Kohanim. So if you read that today, you'll see that God set up some certain things about them. You know, they could not, and this is one of the reasons at the Eastern Gate, the Muslims, when they took over, they sealed that gate up because they know, they're smart enough to know that the scripture says that Yeshua will ride through that gate the day he returns. He will ride through that gate into Jerusalem. So they're aware of that. And so what they've done, they have put a burial site out there on the side because they know from the instructions that God has given that the Kohanim priests were not to walk on graves or not to touch dead people unless it was a very close relative. I'm going to say a father, mother, something like that. But they were instructed not, because what does death, see, the Kohanim was to present God as life. God is not death, God is light. And that's what they were presenting by not touching things that were dead. Because that's the central theme, I think, in the scriptures is the wages of sin is death. And that's a portrayal of that. The death is a portrayal that people died in their sin. They're lost for all eternity. And they had certain regulations about Kohanim, and they were men who they could marry. They couldn't just marry. They couldn't marry someone who was divorced, and they couldn't marry anybody that had a different type of lifestyle to contrary to what God taught. They had to be a virtuous woman, I'm going to say. They had to be a woman that was a virtue, that served God and knew God and attended Shabbat and attended the feast of the Moeds. We're going to talk about those this morning. So they had to be, you can say special, they had to be dedicated to God, you had to be dedicated totally to God to be able to serve in His presence. Because if you were chosen on Yom Kippur to go into the Holy of Holies, you were walking into the very presence of God. So it wasn't like just walking down the street or something and seeing somebody. I mean, that was quite an ordeal going. And they went in four times. They changed clothes five times into the presence of God. And if something wasn't right, they could be stricken dead. That's why they only wore white linen. That's why it says in Scripture not to mix linen and wool, because in that arid climate, you would have been sweating. And that's why you wore the white linen, to avoid any type of body moisture, because if it dripped, if your brow dripped into the blood offering, you could be destroyed, because it would not have been accepted by God. It had to be pure, so it had to be accepted of God. That's why it was important that they waited to see on the synagogue wall if that red rope turned white. It meant God had accepted the offering, and therefore their sins were forgiven. I don't remember in the Scriptures if it particularly says where it wasn't taken, where the offering was not given and it was accepted. That could be in there, but I don't remember ever seeing that. But that's what would have happened. It would have not turned red. And after Yeshua died, it meant the offering has already been made. The offering has been made. It never, for those 40 years, it never turned white. It stayed red. They didn't understand. If they did understand it, they never did say anything. But they didn't understand that the Son of God had died once for all. The color didn't change in the casting of the lot in the right hand for those 40 years. It always ended up in the left hand. And the odds of that are astronomical. But they never got the concept that the Lamb of God had died for the remission of sins. A lot of those Scriptures they wouldn't read. So that's part of this today, is part of this Emor. They gave other regulations about that, like a newborn animal could not be sacrificed with its mother for after 7 days. It had an opportunity to live for 7 days before the sacrifice. But again, it's a picture. Remember, the sacrifice, the korbanot, was a picture of sin and death, because the animal had to die in order for the blood to be taken and to be cast upon the altar or upon the parquet. Something innocent had to die. Something innocent had to die for us. And it's a shadow of Yeshua and what He did. And so we see and God's Word always calls us to be holy, because He has said many times in His Word that I am holy, therefore you shall be holy. And that means if you serve Him and follow what He has instructed us to do. So one of the things in this particular parsha was walking through all of the moeds or moedines. Those are the appointed times that God has created. And those things, I believe, were created before time ever began. God had already established what His calendar was going to be, and I think He established what His appointed times were going to be. The appointed times are so very important to believers, because it is an appointment with God. It's like God is telling us, on this particular day, you're going to come and appear before me. That is like if you go to the doctor or dentist or whatever, you have an appointment and you usually go, because a lot of these places, if you don't show up or call them, they'll charge you. They'll charge you like an office visit or whatever. But God has established these, and they're very critical. They're critical and important, because on the Moeds and on Shabbat, and I think Shabbat is a weekly Moed, because we are to appear before God on a weekly basis on His Shabbat. That's when God will give you get an extra blessing, I think, when you appear before God on His appointed times, because you're telling Him that you're concerned and you want to worship Him and you want to observe and do what He has instructed you to do. So when we have these, like like a Sukkot is, Shavuot is coming up in May. So that's an appointed time to come to God's house and to observe. It didn't always be on, it's not always on a Saturday. It's different times of the week when maybe we observe those, but it's important to come on those moeds that God has established. They're the festivals of the Jewish calendars, the Jewish calendar. And you know, the first one, of course, the Shabbat. That's God observed the Shabbat after creation. He rested on the seventh day. That was the seventh day that he rested. And then the first thing that God gave the Jewish people in Egypt, it was interesting. You would have thought he would have told them more about how to do this, how to do that. But the first thing that God gave the Jewish people, the Israelites in Egypt, was the calendar. That was very interesting. That's how important the appointed times was, that God, the first thing God gave them, he didn't tell them about right and wrong. He told them about the Moedim. Here's my appointed times, and here's the calendar. And it hasn't changed. Passover has always been on the 14th of Nisan. It doesn't change. Because a lot of people say, well, when's Passover? Well, it's the same time it was last year. It's the 14th of Nisan. It don't change. Easter, flip-flop based on the equinox or something out there, the spring equinox. And that's why it rotates, because the things of God are in a circle. We go around and around. Everything goes around to God. But the Christian calendar is a linear. It's straight. It changes. But God, one of the things that God tells us is he does not change. That's why the things go around. It's like a merry-go-round. What goes around, as the saying says, comes around. So Passover comes around the same time every year. And that's wonderful. You don't have to really remember it, though, just know about it, to know about it, because they change. They're always the same, in other words. And we see on the 14th of Nisan was the Passover. On the 10th of Nisan was when you selected the lamb for the sacrifice. That's why the Christians observe, well, what is that day? I forgot, before Easter, it's what now? Yep, that was the 14th. If you go back and look, it was the 10th of Nisan when Christ, they had to pick the lamb, and when they went through Jerusalem and they cut branches down and they sang and they praised him, that was the 10th of Nisan. That was the selection of the lamb. He had to be chosen as the lamb on the 10th of Nisan to go to be crucified. That's what that day was. And if you remember the scripture, he tarried a couple of days before he went because things were going on, and he knew he had to be there on the 10th of Nisan. That was the day that he rode through Jerusalem, and they cut branches and sung, and they put him on the donkey, and he rode through Jerusalem on that day. That was the 14th of Nisan. And then, of course, Passover was observed that day. And then he died before the end of that day. The day, that's why they didn't have time to prepare the body. It's because it was going to be, it was a closing in on sundown, and they didn't. And it was coming up. A lot of people think, well, it was a Sunday, but it, a lot of the things in the scripture with the Moedids, some of those days and things are considered a Shabbat. They're considered holy. So there's no work in those days. So when he passed away, all they could do was take his body and put him in the tomb. They didn't have time to wash the body and to anoint it and to put spices and everything on it. That's why they rather quickly hurried him into the grave, because they had to bury a grave. They didn't have one. They didn't prepare a place for him because he wasn't going to use it anyway. He was just going to stay there for a short time. So he didn't need an expensive burial place to be buried, because he was only going to stay 3 days and come out of that place and never to go back. That's why he left his garments. He wasn't coming back. And so we see the day after Passover, we have the counting of the Omer. God tells us to count 7 weeks times seven, and that is 49. And on the 50th day, you will observe Shavuot. And why was that so important? Well, first of all, the first thing was the giving of the Matan Torah. On that day, on the 50th day, Shavuot, God gave Moses the Torah. He gave him the Ten Commandments on that day. And then when Yeshua was there, he told them to tarry until they received power from on high, which was the anointing, the filling of the Holy Spirit that's in Acts. That happened on Shavuot, the 50th day from Passover. So God had it already planned out centuries, eons before Yeshua ever came to Jerusalem to serve and to give his life. And then that also on that 15th of Nisan, we have Hag Matzah. That's a three-day observance. That is a Moedim, and that is better known as unleavened bread. That represents the 3 days that Yeshua was in the grave before he came out of the grave, triumphed over death and hell and the world and sin. He triumphed over death and hell, and he ascended back, later ascended back to heaven. But that's why it's so important to understand that all these things are not just things you glance over, but they have great spiritual meaning for what we believe in. Is the fact that, you know, I've heard a lot of people on television, on radio, whatever, they say, well, he died on Friday and rose on Sunday. But that's, if you go to the scripture, it's very clear. And because the Jewish people were saying, what is the sign? You know, he was telling them these things, and they said, well, give us a sign. What's going to happen? He said, you've been given a sign. Jonah was the sign. Because Jonah, it says, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, not a whale. A lot of people say a whale, but a whale's not a fish. It's a big animal, but it's not a fish. It's a mammal, because they nurse their young like a human does. They're a mammal, or other mammals. He says, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That's Hag Matzah. That's the three-day observance of the matzah, that he was dead and he would rise again. And on that, in the day after Hag Matzah, at sundown, when the priest, they would lift the offering, the barley would be lifted as a heave offering unto the Lord, and that would have been Hag Bukurim, which was the first fruits offering. Because there's a lot in the scriptures, different passages in the scripture, that Yeshua was our first fruits offering. He was the first fruits offering for that was dead and arose from the grave. And when he arose from the grave, he took the keys of hell and death with him. Death would no longer preside over you as long as you are a believer. If you have Yeshua, then you will live. That's the promise. You will live forever. That was the purpose of that on that day, that it was sundown, and I believe at the evening when the priest was lifting the barley up in the offering to God, I believe that's when Yeshua came out of the grave. It was on Bukurim. It was on the first fruits offering. It wasn't later on in the day. I think it happened right then and there when he lifted that up to God. That's when he came out. That was the first fruits offering. And then we count the 50 days up into Shavuot. And that's a 50-day occurrence where we received the Torah. And then later with Yeshua and the disciples and his followers, they were in one accord. That means, I think that's one of the things that to me Shavuot means. It means in one accord. That's where they were at. They were all in oneness of mind, in oneness of their actions when they went into the upper room. And they tarried. You know, they had to wait 50 days for that to happen. So they didn't, a lot of them probably left. They said, well, nothing's going to happen. We're just going to go on. But he had given them the instruction, tarry until you receive power from on high. And so a lot of them waited until that occurred. And then the Holy Spirit came and fell upon them. And they began to speak in other languages and or tongues. And so that was on Shavuot. That's another one of the appointed times. It's very important to observe, again, the appointed times of God. If you don't observe them, like the people who left on before Shavuot came, they missed the blessing of the anointing from the Holy Spirit, because some of them didn't want to stay that long. They may have left the day before, but they missed that day. So don't miss Shavuot coming and receiving a blessing from God. And then we go up into the fall of the year, and we come to one that's called Rosh Hashanah. And what's so interesting about Rosh Hashanah, that's, as God's Word says, it's on Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei, the month of Tishrei. And what's interesting about that, in Israel, it's a two-day observance, and it occurs, it's the only Moedim that occurs on a new moon. Now, if you know anything about the constellations and the hemispheres and all that, on a new moon, you can't see the moon because it's sort of wild. But I mean, it's a new moon, but you can't see it. So they observe it 2 days because they had to make sure they observed Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. They do it 2 days to make sure that they have officially observed it because they couldn't tell the exact time. Normally, they would go to the to a higher ground and see the stars in the sky to know that the day had started anew. And I forget it was 3 or 5 stars they had to see. But on the new moon, that's the reason they have a 2-day observance, to make sure that they observed that Rosh Hashanah, the new moon, was coming for the new year, that they observed that. So it's a little different now with all this stuff we got, but that's still a Moedim. It's the appointed time. And then we come to the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. And a lot of people say, well, that's a day that the sins were forgiven, but that's also a day of great praise and worship and joy, because that's in their time. Yom Kippur tells us that that's when that they would sacrifice and they would be forgiven of their sins. But the next day, if they did something wrong, they were back in sin. It's only just like the juice there that's covered the cups. You don't see it. It's a covering. But when you take the covering off, you can see there's a couple of cups left. And that's what they observed. The covering was only for that day. And then the next day, if they sinned, they were back in sin. They had to wait for a whole year. But that's why on Yom Kippur, when they cast the lots, just like when Pilate cast the lots and wrote Yeshua's name upon the piece of wood that was over him, you know, the people were very in an uproar because his name was put over him. And it actually, when they wrote that, from what I've been reading and studying a little bit, they wrote it in several different languages. But in the Hebrew, they couldn't write everything all the way out. But what they did, from what I've been reading and studying, they took just a letter out of each name, and it comes back to Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. That's why they were screaming, because that was the unspoken name of God. And Pilate had no idea when they burnt that wood what was taking place, but he had to be named. And so that's part of that, why they put his name over him. And, you know, in the crucifixion, you know, I often wonder why God didn't have another way to do that, but that's the way he chose it, because there's a lot, if you go to Isaiah and also into the Psalms, you see a lot about how the suffering and everything. I don't want to jump over to that, but that's another piece I'll get to here just in a minute. And then after Yom Kippur, we observe Sukkot. That's the ingathering. That represents the fall harvest, or the ingathering of people that are lost into the kingdom of God. And that lasts for 7 days. And that's the feast that we observe, and we live in tents or huts. That's what Sukkah is like. It's a hut or a temporary dwelling, and they left the top. The top had an opening to it so they could see the stars at night and observe the things of God. So Sukkot is another one of the Moedims that we have. A lot of people camp out. We've had camp outs and different things. But it's a type 7-day feast, and we observe the 4 species that are generated at the harvest, the different things that are generated after the wheat and the barley. Then we have the four kinds that are part of Sukkot that we observe, and we have some banners and things that tell us about the different kinds of offerings that were brought. They were brought into the temple, and then after that, it represents the harvest, and God is telling us that that there's a great harvest of souls coming a day in the future. That is a moed that has not been completed yet. Yom Kippur, Yeshua, and Passover, and the Holy Spirit has been given, but Sukkot is one of the feasts that has not been fulfilled yet. It's still out there on the horizon to be fulfilled, but that means there will be a great harvest in that day of souls coming into the kingdom of God. And you hear a lot of people talking about a great revival's coming and all that. Now, whether that's Sukkot or not, I can't tell you that. I don't know, but I know from God's word, Sukkot means a harvest, the harvest that's coming to God. And after the seventh day, then we have God tells us in his word, I want you to stay around another day just because I want to be with you. And it's called Shemini Atarats. It means the eighth day assembly. And that's, God just says, hang around for an eighth day, you know. Talk with me, be with me for another day. And then after that, of course, we have Simchat Torah, which is the rolling of the Torah scroll that we have back here in the ark. And that's where it's rolled from the last part of the scripture, the Torah, all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It's rolled all the way back. And then we go back again. That's the circular thing. It goes from the last book to the first. We go around all the way through it. We go through the whole, all 54 of the parshas are done in the calendar year on the Hebrew calendar. So it's a lot of people don't understand that. Why do you do it every week? Because the first thing I say is because God said to do it that way. And if you want to observe, God and get your blessing, then you have to do what he says. It's just like if you're a kid, if you don't do what your mom and dad says, well, you don't get what they promised you. That's what God's saying. Do what I tell you, and I'm going to bless you far more than you think you're going to get. And that's why the Torah is so important, because we're required to have the instruction, because the day is coming when you won't need the instruction. You won't need anybody to stand up here and tell you, well, today is this Torah portion is Emor. You're going to know it. It's going to be in your heart, and it's going to be on your lips. You're going to know it. So you won't. That's the day that no one will need to teach you anymore, because God will put his word in your heart and on your lips. But about Yeshua, the things that he did, you know, when you look at the scriptures, and as I study them and think about, you know, I wonder why God wanted the, you know, that this was a period of history that the crucifixion was a way that the Romans, see, until they came to power, I don't think there was any type of crucifixion type capital punishment. That's what it was. It was a capital punishment. And they crucified women and they crucified men. And if you study just the ancient things that are out there, like in encyclopedia and things, you'll find with the Romans, they always crucified someone at what was called a crossroads, or an intersection where various roads come together. And the reason they did that was so a lot of people could see you being crucified. And, you know, most of the time, the person, if they didn't die, they would take a big maul axe or a hammer like thing, and they would break their legs. Because if you go back and look, when they put the stakes in on the back of the cross thing, they would have spikes where they couldn't put their heels into them and hold their weight up. Because in crucifixion, what happens, you basically drowned in your body fluids is what happens. Your diaphragm gives out on you and you can't hold it up. It keeps going down. And that's why they would put those spike-like things so you couldn't put your weight on your heels to hold your body up. So it made you were just hanging there. And that's why they would nail you farther into the hand, because if they did just the palm, you would probably pull out with the total weight of your body on them. A lot of people don't realize that, but that's why they did them more in the wrist area and in the heel, because if they did it in your fingers and toes, then your hands would give way to that, to the weight of your body would pull your hand right through, you know, that. But it was a painful way. But it was to humiliate the person. Not only to kill them, but it was to humiliate them, because they took all their clothes off And they would hang their naked before the whole world as they came by. Same thing with women, except they crucified them backwards. Their back was to the crowd. And so that was the only change. But they did crucify men and women. And it was just at the crossroads. That's what it was for. It was a terrible way because with Yeshua, he was beaten 39 times. See, when they give you a sentence, if they beat you 40 times, it meant they beat you till you died. But he was beaten 39 times, meaning that he would not die from being beaten, but he would die being crucified. So that's why there's a difference of 39. And Paul says that many times he was beaten 39, save one, because if you got 39 stripes, it meant that you were going to be beat to death. You would eventually die because the way the whips that they used had pieces of bone and all that sharp bone, and it would eventually cut into your body, into your lungs, and they would beat you on the front and the back. It wasn't just them beating on one side. They would beat you all over your body, and that's how they basically killed you. The bone and whatever else things they put in those cat of nine tails would dig into your flesh, and eventually it would get into your rib cage, into your lungs, and the person would die. It was a horrible way to die, and it wasn't something that it took many hours for the person to die, either from the beating or just from the loss of blood in the body fluids. But the scripture tells us that God said, for sin, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we see that's in God's word. That's what he required for sin, but that it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This was the strict justice system that God had established for sin. When you sin, that was the ultimate end. And that's what he says in his word. The wages of sin was death. That's why I believe Yeshua was beaten mercifully and died at the crucifixion. And of course, he was actually hung on a tree because the book of Isaiah clearly says that it was a curse to be crucified, and it was a curse to be crucified on a tree. That's significance of why they said tree and not just a piece of wall or something that they nailed him up to. But it was a tree. But Yeshua paid that price. And that's why his name means salvation. That's what a lot of the patriarchs cried out to you. They cried out to Yeshua, and they would call and they would say, Yeshua is my salvation. That's what his name meant in Hebrew. It means he is salvation. He is salvation. His name tells us about who he was, what his purpose was. Just like your name tells a lot about who you are and what you do and things and how you function and things like that. Your name tells a lot about you. Yeshua's name, if you you've read this probably many times, and it says in the scriptures that a virgin will conceive and bring forth a male child, and his name will be Emmanuel. And again, it says that his name will be Yeshua. That's what they told Miriam. His name would be. You know, if you read in the book of Isaiah, you'll see that where it talks about, and as far as Miriam, she was more than just a virgin, which she was. She was what I would classify, I think God would say, she was a righteous woman, meaning that not only has she never been with a man, but she observed the Moedim's of God, and she observed his word, and she prayed to God, and she attended Shabbat. That was the things that I think made her righteous, because in that period of time, there was probably thousands of young maidens, young women in Israel and Jerusalem that were virgins, but maybe they weren't righteous enough that they observed the things of God. That's what made her totally different than all the other people that God, all the other women that God saw, because she was different in that she had already dedicated herself to serving God before she was ever chosen. That's why I think she was chosen. And if you read there, if you go back and read where it says about a virgin will conceive, you know, when he wrote that, there's a Hebrew letter named the Mem, and the Mem is like an M, and the bottom is open because the Mem represents water, and it represents the birth channel for a woman. That's the Mem represents the birth, the water. You all had children know. I've heard people say the water broke. When I was a few years ago, we had a young lady in the office. She was expecting, and her water broke right there in the office. And everybody, and I never seen 30 or 40 people go in total panic. Total panic. Total panic. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew what to do. I said, well, what thing? We got to get her to the hospital. Or we're going to have to deliver the baby right here, because that's pretty important. But you know, with when Isaiah wrote that, they say, well, he made a grammatical error. When he wrote the mem, he left the little m, the little part. It's like a, well, it was open at the bottom. It was made a certain way, and it was open for the birth channel, for the water. But when he wrote it, he closed it up. And that tells us about the birth of Yeshua. It wasn't a normal birth. It wasn't a normal birth. I think after she gave birth to Yeshua, I think she was still a virgin. I don't think God ever took that away from her. That's why a lot of people say, well, he just made a mistake. No, that was something God had put in his hand to make that close, because it meant that he was not born. He was not conceived, and he was not born the normal way. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he was not born as a normal child is born. Where, you know, what goes through all that. That's why God's word is so important. He tells us exactly what his name meant. In Zephaniah chapter 3, and I'm almost through here, we won't tarry much longer. It says, for I shall return the people with a clean lip, so that they all call on the name of God for restoration, and the Hebrew language will be restored. The Hebrew Lashon, with the name of God, is going to be restored. And we see when Israel became a nation, very close here in May, I think it's the 14th or 15th, that they became a nation in 1948, that the first thing they did was to restore the Hebrew dialect, the Hebrew language. And what's so interesting, when they did that, they taught the little children to speak Hebrew first, and that's how it spread. They didn't teach the older folks. They let the little children learn how to speak Hebrew, and by doing that, that was something of God there. Because, you know, most people would say, well, let the grown-ups teach the little children. Well, no, they let the little children, you know, teach the grown-ups, and so the language now is taught very fluently all over Israel. So it's the language of Israel. It was gone for centuries. The language was gone for centuries, but they restored it after that. So if you look at Yeshua's name, and it's spelled with, these are the Hebrew letters, Yod, Shin, Vav, and Ayin. Each one has a specific word that it relates to, and each one of them tells you about him. Just to close it up this morning, the Yod means the hand or the arm. Actually, the Yod means the arm. It takes care of the hand is the arm. That's part of it. It means the arm. The Vav is also, it means nail. It means a nail. And the Vav also is the number of a man. The number 6 is the number of man. That's the gematria of the Vav. It means the nail. And he was the Son of Man. Yeshua was the Son of Man, Son of God. And then we see that meant that he would be pierced. In Psalms 22:16, it says he would be, his hands and his feet would be pierced. And see, that was written centuries before Yeshua ever came, centuries before they ever thought about crucifixion and nailing people to trees and things like that. It was already in the book of Psalms. There's a lot in the book of Psalms. Psalms is a good book if you're going to pray, is to read some of the Psalms before you pray. Very, very, it's very good to do that. Things will come out to you real quick. And so that tells us about Yeshua as far as what his name meant. It meant that it was what God said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and a nail in the hand. That was his name. It meant that he was going to be the sacrifice. Psalms 26, David cried out and said, He is my rock, my Yeshua is my salvation, and I shall not be removed. See, even David, King David, knew Yeshua, that meant salvation. See, the sacrifice system that God had at that point did not redeem the people. It was only a covering, like the kapora that was in, that covered the Holy of Holies. When Yeshua died, it was rent. That's the way they exhibited agony and pain. When someone would pass away, they would rent their clothes. And so God rented the parsha in the temple was rent, not from top to bottom, but from the bottom to the top. It would have been very, maybe it was top to bottom, but it was rent. God tore it apart, and it would have been impossible. I was reading it took about 200 people, big men, to lift the parakeet up and put it over the Holy of Holies. And they had like five or six of them that they would change out. But it wasn't an easy task to get 200 people to lift it, because it was like 6 inches thick, and I forget how tall and wide it was. But it was a monstrous type thing to be lifting up and down. So you can imagine it says in some of the later older writings that it took about 200 big men to be able to lift it and to physically put it up there. And so we see that's what his name was destined for death. It's hard to believe, but it not only a death, but a cruel death. And so we see the sacrifice system only was a covering, just like the Holy of Holies. The tapestry that covered the Holy of Holies was just a covering to keep us from seeing the face of God. But with the death of Yeshua, now you have complete access at any time to God. You don't have to go to somebody else and say, "Can you go pray for me?" You have access. That's what God's saying. He rented because of his son being died, and that was a way to express sorrow and grief. That's why it was torn apart. Just like a family member, when someone died in that period of time, would rent their clothes, and they would put ashes on their head as a way of mourning. And that was to tell us not only was he mourning his son, but it gave us access to him, to his holy place. We have access to it. So the sacrifice, Hebrews 10:4 says, it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to remove sin. They only covered what was going on. And the next day, as I said, they were back in sin. It only covered that one day. And that's the way it was, because God was planning, had another method to come that would be eternal. That's what it is. And it says, Yeshua came not to destroy the Torah, but the Torah, because he became, he was the Torah. And he came to destroy the Torah or the prophets, but he came that believers would walk in faith. Let's see, this is Acts 4:12 says this: save us from our sins and redeem us from the curse of death. That was the curse of sin, was death. If you don't accept Yeshua, then and you die, you will die in your sins. And the part about it is, you can't go back. Once you die, you can't go back and get forgiveness. You've made your decision. It's like I said before, you have to decide: are you going to live for God, and when you die, you're going to have to make a decision before you die where you're going to spend eternity, and whether it's going to be heaven or hell. That's everybody's individual decision. You can talk to everybody in the world and beg them to believe in Yeshua, but it has to be their decision. They have to step forward and say yes. They can't, because if we could, we'd all get everybody saved. But that's why God said we're a freeborn person, and it's our obligation to accept Yeshua as our Messiah. Nobody else can do it for you. He died for us. He died for you. But you have to accept him yourself. Nobody else can do it. Because I know we'd all probably have our kids and everything, yeah, grandchildren, everybody. But it's an individual decision that you have to make. You have to make that. In God's word, his Torah is holy, and the commandments are holy, because they are righteous and they are good. Yeshua came not, as I said before, to save us from the law, but he came to remove us out of the law. because when you become a believer, you move from the law because you're in the kingdom of God. Matthew 5 says Yeshua came not to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I said that he suffered our curse for our disobedience. He died for us. That was the curse. And just to close this morning, Colossians 2:14 says Yeshua blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances. You know, when you went to prison, and you went into jail, they would put your sentence, they would write it and stick it on your door. And so anybody walked by knew what you did. And that's why he said he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances. That means that was against you because you had sinned, which was contrary to what God wanted, and took us out of the way, nailing that to his execution tree. That's what Yeshua did. It was nailed. Your sins was nailed to his execution stake. Good works, just to close, good works will not save you. We're only saved by Yeshua. But I will tell you this, if you're saved and you're following Yeshua, you're going to do good works. You're going to help people. And you're going to do things. But it doesn't save you. It will not save you. So that's the message in the drosh this morning. So I will dismiss. Like a pretty day, so you've got some time to maybe go outside and hear the birds chirp. They've been real loud lately. They have been loud. So if you'll stand, I will say the Aaronic blessing over you. And we pray that Rabbi and Rabinson have a great time wherever they're at. Maybe they're at the beach, I don't know. But I'm sure they'll have a good time. They've had a good time today. And his birthday. Yesterday was his birthday. So happy birthday, Rabbi Bell. And may you have several more. May you have several more. Until Yeshua comes. Yes. Then we'll quit counting how many birthdays we've had. So God spoke to Aaron. I'm sorry, spoke to Moses. And he said, this is the way when my people come together, you will bless my people. And it's a blessing for each of us because you're here on Shabbat to get the blessing. That's what God's saying. The Moedad, the Moedines, and the Shabbat is so important because God, whether you believe it or not, he's going to bless you in more ways than you ever think. And so he said, Ivaradakai Danai Vishmareka, Aradanai Panavaleka, Vikonika, Isaiadanai Panavaleka, by Asimlaka Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, our coming King and Lord of Lords, I bless you today on this Shabbat. Have a great day. Shabbat Shalom.